Welcome to Luminol, a true crime podcast that examines deviance and crimes across the world, both in the distant past and in more recent times. I'm Chris, your host, and welcome to today's episode. Let's take a trip, shall we? Our first stop is in Wilhelmshaven, in the northern part of Germany, where Niels Hogel is born in 1976 to two parents and an older sister. Niels had lived a normal, sheltered childhood with a relatively normal and happy home life. He grew up just as most do, going to school, then vocational school, and marrying in 2004 upon his daughter's birth. Niels's mother worked as a paralegal, which didn't seem to interest Niels very much. Niels's grandmother and father were nurses and inspired Niels to follow in their footsteps. In 1997, Hogel completed his training to become a nurse and started working at St. Willehad Hospital. When Niels joined the nursing field, he worked at clinics in Oldenburg, Delmenhorst, and Bremen. In the clinics, Niels seemed to always be around at the right time. A patient started coding and needed resuscitation, and he was there to help. Not only that, but he was fearless in the face of death and quickly made a name for himself as someone who could handle the pressure of life or death situations. This happened time and time again, Niels often wanting to take charge of helping a patient come back from the other side, eventually garnering him the nickname of Resuscitation Rambo from his colleagues. In 2002, Oldenburg's director of nursing wrote a reference letter for Hogel, stating that he had a stellar work ethic, that he acted immediately and correctly in critical situations, and that he was devoted in his work, having completed his duties to the utmost satisfaction. Niels gained a sense of pride from saving these patients, and was happy to receive the positive attention. Now, while his colleagues were certainly relieved to have another nurse around in dire situations, the dire situations seemed to happen more and more frequently. Patients were coding at alarmingly high rates during or just after Niels's shifts at the clinic. Perhaps a stroke of bad luck, perhaps a cause for suspicion, colleagues tended to turn away from thoughts of foul play. After all, the patient's privacy was of the utmost importance in Germany, and launching investigations unnecessarily would reflect badly on the clinics. This, along with a fear of being reprimanded, kept Niels's colleagues at Oldenburg silent, despite having the voice in the back of their heads saying, "Something might just be off here." Moving on to the clinic in Delmenhorst, Niels continued to be a harbinger of death. While at first his colleagues seemed to think highly of Mr. Hogel, as deaths and emergencies began rising noticeably, his colleagues began to distance themselves. Patients were coding, just as they were prior, at alarming rates, and this time, one of Niels' colleagues spoke up, reporting that Hogel seemed suspicious, and that there may be something he's doing to cause all of this death and close calls. Unfortunately for this colleague and the patients at Delmenhorst, this report led to no action against Mr. Hogel. All of the suspicions from Mr. Hogel's previous and current colleagues would one day be found to be true. A fellow nurse at Delmenhorst, Renate T., came across Niels standing over a patient in his 60s, along with four empty vials of a medication that wasn't prescribed to him and his life support system being switched off. As soon as Niels was out of sight, Renate drew blood samples from the patient to run tests for doses of the medication. By the time the test came back with a dangerously high dose of the heart medication, the patient had passed. The doctor in charge of the shift and this nurse met to discuss, but Mr. Hogle was allowed to finish his shift that day. Mr. Roper, age 67, would be his final victim. Police launched an investigation after this, and once one incident was caught, the floodgates seemed to burst. Co-workers of Hogle finally began to voice suspicions of connections to all the deaths and emergencies within the hospital. Police were able to account 73% of deaths in the clinic in just 1 year to be closely connected to Hogle's work schedule, as many of his colleagues had suspected, but not expressed any worries about to superiors prior. In his first trial, Hogle was sentenced to 5 years in prison and an employment ban of 5 years for attempted voluntary manslaughter. This was soon reversed, and in 2008, Hogle was tried and sentenced to a 7.5-year prison sentence and a lifelong employment ban. Upon his trial in 2014, Niles was suspected of murdering 3 patients and attempting to murder 2 others. Hogle confessed to the charges, as well as confessing that he had committed 30 more murders. Hogle told the court that he administered almost 100 unauthorized injections, and that of all the patients he had a hand in, 60 were successfully resuscitated. In 2015, he was sentenced to life imprisonment. In 2014, during his trial, after growing suspicion that Niles could be responsible for far more deaths, police examined over 200 suspicious deaths near Niles, and a special police commission was formed to investigate these cases. Over 100 bodies were exhumed and examined from 67 different cemeteries across Germany, Poland, and Turkey. 101 patients that died under suspicious circumstances couldn't be examined, as they had been cremated upon death. In 2017, after years of investigating further deaths, police credited Hogle to be responsible for the deaths of at least 90 patients, only 6 of which he had already been convicted for. Later in 2017, the number of victims was revised to 106. And in January of 2018, Hogle was charged with the murders of 97 patients. In this 2018 trial, Hogle confessed to killing 43 patients on the first day of the trial, adamantly denied involvement in the deaths of 5, and was unable to recall 52 patients. In June of 2019, he was once again sentenced to life imprisonment, and was then denied the chance for early release after 15 years of serving his sentence due to the prior convictions. Hogle has been found guilty on a total of 85 murder charges and not guilty on 15. Hogle appealed the verdict, but in September of 2020, the Federal Court of Justice dismissed the appeal. After his sentencing in 2015, the Delmenhorst Clinic and Oldenburg Clinic both stated that they intended to compensate the victim's relatives, and then introduced a process they called qualified necropsy, which involved a second coroner in all autopsies so that the clinics may prevent unnatural causes of death going unnoticed going forward. As of 2020, Hogle is suspected of being involved in the deaths of 300 victims over 15 years, and estimates of his death count only increase since his first conviction as more investigations conclude and more bodies are examined. People look back on Hogle's crimes and wonder why. Dr. Karl Heinz Benn, a German neurologist, said that Niles appeared to be driven by narcissism and a need to fill a deep lack of self-worth, which he filled with the satisfaction of inducing these life-threatening scenarios so that he could then save the patients. Prosecutors in his multiple trials also emphasized that Hogel was trying to impress his colleagues, and that he had acted out of boredom and a desire to show off. Under neutralization theory, Hogel was likely justifying his crimes in the moment by becoming the patient's savior. He also likely justified his failures by attributing them to outside forces, such as nurses and doctors getting involved, or his shift ending and being sent home before he could save the patient. Whatever his reason, many across the world have read of his crimes and found them to be completely heinous, the judge in his own trial even expressing his disgust at the crimes. To understand where this crime falls on a severity level, we can take a look at Hagen's 7 approaches to defining crime and deviance, specifically his pyramid approach. This crime, with high severity of societal response, high agreement on the norm, and high severity of harm, falls into the top of the pyramid. Niels Hogel, an angel of death, a murderer, now serves his life imprisonment in Germany as Germany's deadliest post-war serial killer.